remain standing for prayer, please. And again, I think, you know, I feel like sometimes when the Holy Spirit moves and you feel something, you do it. God, I bless that. And the member of times, too. And I think, Lord, Brother Ken can switch right in. Sister Joy and others in here switch right in. We don't have a bulletin to go by, so you don't know what we're going to do next anyhow. You say, well, preacher, I've been coming here long enough. I got your routine set down. Well, I've just changed that one day. They'll mess you up if you do that, see. But anyhow, it's just a blessing. I appreciate you bearing with us. You know, we don't claim to be professionals, but we do love the Lord. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for this precious book we're fixing to open up again. We thank you that you kept it preserved for our day. We can hear the very voice of God by reading this book that you inspired men to write it. Now, I pray you'd give us the ability to preach it with power. Lord, help these people not come here and the time be wasted. Let it be we learn something about our lives, about you, about what it is we need to do, and go back into that world and be the vessel that you could use for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn with me to Job chapter 10. Job chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 11 and 12 here. Job is responding to Bildad, who has given him a hard time about explaining why he was in the mess that he was in. And yet Job is answering back to this particular friend he was supposed to have. And he said in verse 11, talking about what God has done, thou hast clothed me, he said. Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Interesting. He said, you clothed me with skin and flesh, and you fenced that in with bones. What in the way to describe our body? You fenced that in with bones, he said, and also with sinews. And then in verse 12, he said, thou hast granted me life and favor. I love that. A lot of folks have life but don't have the favor of God. But God, here, Job said, thou hast granted me with life and favor, and thy visitation has preserved my spirit. If you look with me over in the book of Proverbs in chapter 22, just back over a couple pages, in Proverbs, look in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. I was going to go another direction, but I'll go this direction right now. Here we have Solomon said in verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Now, folks, there's a lot of folks in this world would say, I don't believe that. I'd rather have the riches than a good name. No matter if I get the riches, I can establish my good name. No, a lot of rich folks don't have a good name. You know that? But when you talk from God's viewpoint, looking at us, we look back from our viewpoint, he says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And watch this, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A lot of folks say, well, I don't care what I got in favor alone. I can gain favor if I got silver and gold. Not from God, you can't, unless it's used like it should be, unless he's where he ought to be. See, God owns it all to start with. It's his, and yet, and he's going to prove that one day, because when man's completely off the earth as it is now, and God remakes it for the new saints, for the children of God come back to rule and reign here and forever, though the 1,000 years it won't be remade after that. But he says here, loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together, and the Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple passes on and are punished. But humility and the fear of the Lord are riches. What is he saying? Loving. He said, a good name is better than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. But the world turns around, looks at silver and gold being the important thing, and we have to have certain things to live. But God is letting us see in verse 4, he says, humility and the fear of the Lord are riches in God's sight. You can't buy those things, you see. Did you hear what I said? Now, that's kind of dull hearing to us today, because we think, hey, I can't survive on that. Well, God says, first of all, if these things are where they ought to be, you have what you need to survive. He proved that in Matthew 6:33. And then he said, and honor. He said, but humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. If you also look with me in Psalms Look back over, look in Psalms chapter 41. Psalm 41. Look down about verse 11. Here's the Psalm of David. David has been talking about blessed is he that considereth the poor. David loved the poor. He said in verse 5, my enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? Amazing. David's psalm is before God. He's having a hard time here at this time. And he said, my enemies speak evil of me. Lord, when are they going to die? When are they going to be removed and not bring me this problem? Well, one thing for sure, we're going to have problems till the day we die. But in verse 7, he said, all that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. Verse 9, he says, yea, my own familiar friend at whom I trust, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heels against me. In other words, David said, I'm getting it from everywhere. I'm getting it from the enemy. I'm getting it from different places. He said, I'm getting it from people that are whispering, and I'm getting it from within his own family. You look at David's life, you see that. And of course, he brought some out on himself. But watch what he says in verse 11. After saying, you know, all this is coming against me. All of this is trying to destroy me. All of this is trying to kill me. I wish that some of them were gone in his despair. But after he gets through saying that in verse 9, even his own household said was against him. Verse 11 said, by this I know that thou favors me. Isn't that amazing? With all of this trouble, God, that's coming my way, I know that thou favors me. And then he says, and because my enemy does not triumph over me. The very fact that I know God favors me is that in all that's happened to me, my enemies have not had triumph over me yet. They've not brought me down yet. They've not took everything yet. I have victory even with all the repercussion that's coming from everything in this world. He says, I have favor of God. You know how I know that? Because they've not had triumph over me yet. Now, I'll go so over to the book of Matthew, or book of Luke, chapter 1, 28, and talks about the Gabriel coming to Mary and said to Mary, Mary, thou art highly favored for God for the work that he's calling you to. For the sake of time, I don't want to get into that. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. God grants us favor. This has been Labor Day. This has been a day set aside for the workforce of our country, that we honor that. Thank God Almighty for the workforce of our country. I know it's been down some in the last few years, and there's reasons for that. God may have allowed that to happen to let us see how much we need him. And yet we see our country, as far as leaders, seem to be further from them than ever before. But God still has gave us and has shown us and has granted us much favor. A lot of folks looking jobs. I read a story recently that back in July 5th, 1993, there was a port authority in New York. They ran our ad in the newspaper for electricians. And they said we're looking at electricians, and they need to have training and background on using Suntag connectors. And if they've had that, then we'll be glad to hire them. They got 170 people who responded to that ad. And when they got them, they discarded them and put an ad in the paper and said, there is no such a thing as a Suntag connector. We did this to see who would be honest. And there 170 people responded and said they had training when they didn't have there was no such a thing as a Suntag connector. And they said, these are some we will not hire. And then they went again to what they needed and what they were doing, eliminating those who lie, at least try to, before they actually put the ad in the paper. You know, we live in a lying society. Well, we were fighting for things, but that's not what... Listen, we don't have to lie, ladies and gentlemen. God has granted us favor. Now, I know sometimes things get hard, and Barbara and I have experienced that. There's no doubt about it. We've experienced that in a number of different ways through the years. But I'll tell you, I know this, that God favors those who favor him. And you will come out, even as David said, highly favored. Why? Because we're winners. You've heard me say that many times. God has granted us favor in so many ways. And on this day, and you'll see how this is coming in with the workforce in just a few minutes I'm talking about. God has favored us in many ways. In this particular country, more so than places in a lot of places. And yet, if you evaluate things from God's standpoint, there's a lot of places where God has been first in people's life that he's favored them. And probably they'll get more reward than a lot of people in America who's been favored and missed it because they were busy in taking care of those things that God favored them with. Now, if God withheld his mercy, you hear me, If God Almighty withheld His mercy from any one of us for one moment today, we'd lose everything we had. It's only by the mercy and the grace of God that you end up finding out for sure what God is doing and what He's doing for us. One's wealth would be gone in the snap of a finger without God's mercy. One's mind would collapse. Reason would fail you, but thank God we have His favor. And He's promised that. Like David, He says, my enemies doth not triumph over me because I'm trusting in Him. You have your mind. You have your intellect. You can think, you can reason, you can put the things together logically today. God did not set His image, which is man, up in this world to receive things by merely wishing from them. He's not a genie.
That's right.
He's God.
Amen.
He did not set this image, man, up in this world by getting things, just sitting around wishing for them. If a person does that, they're not going to get too much, I'll tell you that. God has put up and sanctioned the fact that He's given us these abilities, these qualities to do things. Though we all can't do the same thing, we all have things in life that we know how to do better than anyone else that knows how to do. That's it. All of us have things to attribute to life because we don't all know how to do the same thing together. We have talents and we have things that God can bring forth when we give them over to Him. When we have the things we have, God has set forth, they come by the sweat of one's brow in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. This is called, and some of you don't like it, this is called the work ethic. You work, and when you work, then things will come to be blessed by. 1 Timothy chapter 5 gives us this in verse 8. He said, but if any man provide not for his own, and specific for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That is, he's given up the faith, and what's happened, faith has not seen it all in their life. And he said, when you get to that measure, it's worse than an infidel. Infidel. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, I'll just get this behind the start with. He says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if a man would not work, neither should he eat. And by the way, that goes for governments too. But then again, he also tells us we must love the poor. We must help the poor. God sanctions that. David was a man after God's own heart, and David loved the poor of his land and has been the king of his people in that day. Why is it that he talks about if a man will not work, he should not eat? He said in verse 11, for we hear there are those which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. A person who doesn't have a job to work, keep busy, be occupied, becomes a busybody. They're in things then that maybe they shouldn't be involved in. But when their mind's occupied towards a goal to accomplish that in turn, which that God gives us to accomplish, we're busy about our lives. Now, thank God Almighty. Somebody said, well, preacher, I worked all these years and I retired. Well, if you have, you deserve the right to retire. As a matter of fact, I go further than that. If a person retires and don't have no more than $100,000 a year coming in, I don't think you only have to pay tax in this land. I'm talking about retire. Now, I'm not talking about if you say, well, bless God, that's good. I've retired 25 years old. No. I'm talking about retire where you work for something. If you're 25 years old, you didn't work too much if you're ready to retire right now. You got it by inheritance or somehow or another. Amen. It was handed to you. But I'm talking about somebody, I see these people 75 years old and still having to work. Comes a time a person is already contributed. I'm not a politician, but there comes a time a person, if he's a good citizen, a good worker through the years, 40 or 50 years long enough to work, let him rest a little bit. Amen. All right, that's the pillow. I'm not running for office anymore here. Amen. What I'm setting forth to you, you have your mind, you have your intellect, you have these things. Communication is needed for the work ethic, though. It's important. Thank God we can see, we can hear, we can think, we can plan, we can pray. Thank God our five senses that helps us develop in these areas of life. We can do these things. That's the image of God. Thank God for common blessings in life. Common blessings may the unsaved and saved get. It's a common blessing that you're sitting here today because you're breathing air. That's common for everybody. It's a common blessing that your lungs are working. It's a common blessing that you have any health that you have right this morning. We have a common blessing to live in a society today that most of us would have been dead if we any age had not been for technology and medicine and what happens in the medical field. Thank God for those common blessings. Then I thank God for special blessings. We've seen that happen. There have been many of us who have already been dead had not God intervened somehow or another in our particular lives. Many of us have jobs that our God opened up, and we know God gave us that particular job. I'm saying to you, there's the special blessings you prayed for or something happened. I'll tell you something else. If you had a child God gave to you as a heritage from the Lord, that's a special blessing. Mother went to the doors of death to deliver that child. It's a special blessing. And God counts it very important that a family, a mother and dad, raise that child in the fear of the Lord. Then I thank God Almighty for putting up with people like us. You say, you so I said us. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We've not arrived yet. I thank God we're headed to heaven. But hey, we've got a lot of qualities that sometimes we need to have to work on a little bit. Thank God Almighty that He uses people like us. Thank God that He forgives people like us. I'm talking about special blessing granted by God, favor with God in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As I think about these things, let me give you three quick points about God's granting favor to us. Number one, everybody wants to have a good day. We say that. I say to a lot of people, have a great day. Every one of us want to have a good day. I don't know if one gets up in the morning, you know what? I'm going to have the worst day I have today. You had one yesterday, probably. You look for a good day. Now, the thing about this is, how do you measure it? How would you rate a good day? Now, how I would rate it and you'd rate it probably be two different ways. I bet everybody in here, if you'd rate a good day, would be different than anybody else. Because what we think would be a good day wouldn't be a good day if I saw you having what you thought was a good day. So it's hard to rate what is a good day. Most people don't know what a good day looks like. When one has a faulty view of true success and leaves God out, one has a faulty view of what a good day looks like. What God says about success is not what man says about success. Do you believe that? Amen. Let me prove it to you. God's Son, when He was here, Jesus Christ, said in Mark 8, 36 and 37, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And He went on and said, what shall a man give exchange for his soul? There is not enough wealth in this world piled up in a pile that would reach probably hundreds of miles high, and no matter how many miles wide, there's not enough wealth in this world to buy one soul. And yet God loved us and paid the sin debt for us that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, there is no magic solution to success. You cannot wait for opportunities to come and then try to prepare for them either. I remember reading back years ago, basketball legend John Wooten said this, and I quote him. He said, when opportunities come, it's too late to try to prepare. And that's the reason we need education. Sometimes opportunities may help us, but it will not guarantee our success. If an opportunity falls right in our lap, if an inheritance falls in our lap, I'll tell you this, unless there's more to it than just that opportunity, that won't bring you success. You'll have to take what you've got and work hard at it to be successful at it. If not, you'll lose everything you have. And here's the thing that God gives us this ability to understand. Sometimes, even connections may open up the door for success, but they will not guarantee success. Matthew 6:33 gives us a guarantee of success. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things that He mentioned will be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Say, well, you know, I have these things, and I'm not really seeking first the kingdom of God. Well, what's happened when you draw your last breath? What's happened when this life is over? What's happened one day if something comes through and destroys the whole thing? See, success starts with God, ladies and gentlemen. And it starts at the cross of Jesus Christ. And then from there, things really work for us in our good. If God is first, you will have a work ethic. No one. And when you do, you realize that success brings hard work. There's not a person in here, no matter how successful we are, to the level we are. And I think all of us in here, to some degree, are successful to a level. But you didn't get there without hard work. You didn't get there without some miserable days that you had to deal with things for God to help you to be that successful. And let me say to you, no one works one day a week and expects to get paid for 5 days. Someone said, well, maybe in the government you do. I don't know. But I'll tell you, success don't work that way. You have to work the 5 days. And you work the 5 days and pan it out in such a way that it's take notice of those things, you see. So all want to have a good day. But how do you measure that good day? Number two, one thing is for sure, only today matters. God has granted us favor, but only today matters. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, Paul said this, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the only time that matters for salvation. And then today's only thing that matters as far as work is concerned, always letting God be first. Now, it's not that you don't plan. You've heard me say many times, God taught me some things years ago coming in the grassroots of industry. You plan your work and then you work your plan. But you do it day by day. And thank God for that day, because God has let me live this day. I've been highly favored to live today. There are some people that went to bed last night, did not wake up today. But you and I are here worshiping God, and He's highly favored us to be in His house today. What a joy that we can come together and worship Almighty God. Today is the only time that matters for salvation. And when it comes to work, it's the day off of the Lord. But again, each day that comes, there's some thought. Even today, if you're resting in the Lord, there's thoughts about the work day tomorrow. It may be, boy, I said 6 o'clock in the morning. Or it might be, boy, I got a great meeting tomorrow. You probably are never completely away from what you're doing, even though you're in a rest mode on the Lord's day. You see, it's too late for yesterday. It ended last night. And tomorrow has not come as of yet. Tomorrow may not come for some of us, and yet if it does, are we prepared today to meet tomorrow with God in the center of it? That's what really matters. You can plan for tomorrow if it comes, but what you do today matters. Today is a new day. If you look in Psalms 118:24, this is a verse I used on the radio for 20-something years when I had a data broadcast on WHPY. Isn't it amazing? Before we had WHPY, had a data broadcast. Since we got it, I just have two days broadcast. But it says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is a new day. In the morning, when you get up, it'll be a new day. That's the day the Lord hath made, if you see through. And He says, we want to be glad and rejoice and be glad in it. Because He's given us that particular day. Now, I cannot celebrate myself to success. I can celebrate a right way if I am successful, but I can't celebrate myself to success. Successful people make right decisions. They make early decisions, and then they learn to manage those decisions together in their life. They do it on a daily basis. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that God said much about the work ethics. He talked about even how ants do things and plant, you know. He gives us illustrations sometimes in a world we know nothing about. And yet at the same time, He's showing us, He's highly favored us, He's given us attributes and qualities in life that we can excel if we let Him be first. And you say, well, I've excelled where I'm at, fine. But if you let God be first, you've not even seen anything that can be done for His kingdom and also for your life here in this life. Life here, ladies and gentlemen, is not a dress rehearsal. We will not get a second chance to live today over again. Think about your life. You heard me say many times, if you're here and never heard before, you heard me say many times, I've done self-evaluation of my life for years. I run charts on me in the past. I don't do it much now. I'm getting older. But I run charts on me to see what the days go and what happens and see where I was at on the chart on certain such a day. When I'm talking to you, well, think about your life. Now, when you think about your life, ask yourself this question. What have I done for God in my life up to now? I don't mean how many times I went to church, but what have I done from God with my life up to now? If not from the day I was born physically, from the day I was born again. What can I show before God that I've done with my life since I was born into the family of God? That ought to be the starting point when it comes to our success in life. You see, time is an equal opportunity employer for us all. If you have 24 hours a day and I have 24 hours a day, if I have the minutes in that day, if you and I get through another 24 hours, we'll have equal time of opportunity employment in our life. But how we treat time is not equal. Please hear this. There's some things I learned many years ago as a child of God as I study and manage positions, but at the same time, I realized that when I got really doing the work of the Lord, the things work there too. One thing is for sure, when we treat time not equal, decisions that we make helps us get started in anything we do in life. But discipline helps us finish the course. And I've seen that happen so many times. I've seen people start out really with zeal and growing grace and knowledge for the Lord. They made a decision to do something, but then they didn't have the discipline to carry it, and finally they fell by the wayside. If you make a decision to do something and don't have discipline to work towards that goal, you will not finish it. It doesn't happen. You won't get up to work tomorrow unless you discipline yourself. I guarantee you, when you wake up in the morning, you do exactly what your body feels, you'll lay in bed for another hour. Amen? If you don't believe, we'll step 12 o'clock at night and then try to get up in the morning. What I'm saying to you, you have to discipline yourself in your life to do these things. And when you do that, God honors and He favors us, highly favors us, because we know we can't do it without Him. You see, the greatest gap in life is the one between knowing and doing. And this is why I cannot let my hands be tied, keeping from doing what I know that God would have me to do for the Lord. This is why I'm here today. I will not let my hands be tied for keep me from doing what I know I got to do for the Lord. I will move where I have to move to do that, because I know where God has brought me from. I know He's kept me these years, and I've seen and proved in my history of life that God has given some abilities and had favor on the ministry that I've tried to do. I thank God for that. And He's given me great people to believe in the mission that He's called us to do. So today is the only thing that matters. When I get up in the morning, what I do tomorrow and try to schedule out my day is the only thing that really matters. It's not all work. It's all some to enjoy. But everything is centered around that. And I'll tell you this, folks. The foremost thing on my mind is what God wants me to do. And I've been doing that soon be 53 years, September 27th. Just around the corner, I'm going to have another spiritual birthday. And you can do the same thing. The third thing, God grants us favor even when we suffer. Suffering comes from three directions. Suffering comes from our own bodies. I mean, here we see pain. We see diseases. We see failures. We see dying. Why? Because of sin. Suffering will come to you trying to stop you from accomplishing what it is that you're able to accomplish. Many of you, when you start out young, you had everything going well. And then the day you come, you find you have crippling arthritis. You have some other things. You can't do what you want to do. And you have to adjust yourself even then. Someone said, well, this gets to a place you can't do anything. You know what? I believe about anything that you and I have to adjust to, we can adjust to it. Even if we're in bed, can't move hard. There's things that we got in mind we can still do. I think the only time we can't find something to do for the Lord is when we just don't know what is going on in the world. Don't even know we're here, like a vegetable or something. Pain, disease, and these things. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So I must find out what to do about sin to start with, so I'll know where my help cometh from. I'm so glad. September 27, 1959, after running from God for about 3 years, I'm so glad God showed me what I could do with my sin. I'm so glad that God showed me that He would forgive me and forget and cast the sin as far as the east is from the west. Cast it in the deepest sea and give me illustration to understand it'll be where it can never be found again. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. I have to know what to do with my sin first. And I thank God that we can cast it on Him and know that He will forgive us for it. Then the second thing I see, suffering comes from the external world. This world rages against us. Its forces are destructions to show no mercy towards us. As a matter of fact, everybody is fighting for the same spot of life that you and I are at. Do you know that? Where you work at, Don't you think somebody ain't got an eye on your job? Oh, you didn't get that? Let me say it. Don't you think that the only person that where you work at, somebody else won't have a job? If you're in a business of any kind, somebody's watching for that thing. And by the way, anybody, any good manager would be watching too if one's not doing the job to get someone who would do it. If you've ever been in a manager position, you know what I'm talking about. When you're in a manager position, you're caught in between. You're caught from the bosses up. You don't have a job unless you produce. And you're caught from down and trying to get people to understand the work ethics as far as life is concerned. So from the external world, in Psalms 2, here's what the psalmist said. He said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth, notice he said, set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cord from us. And he said, when they do that, he that sits in heaven laughs at that particular time. In other words, again, it's from the external world. We've got all kinds of things coming from this world that doesn't like us. Did you know that the ungodly of this world will let see us gone? And by the way, I got news for them. I'd love to see us gone. Praise God. They ain't got nothing on me. Because you see, what they're thinking, we're going where they'd like us to go. They don't know we're going where God himself is at. And we don't mind that distance either. And then the third thing, the relation with other people. The relation to other people, this is probably, suffering is probably the most painful that anyone would have in this life. To get a spot in life, anything goes, and therefore, most problems come from other people. You know, I thought about when I was doing this message, God has granted me great favor. He's granted us great favor. He's granted our church great favor. He's given us some precious people. A lot of them are going to be the Lord now. But I had no part in my physical birth. I had no part in my decision who my parents were. I didn't have a part in where I would be born or what race I'd be born in. But I'm here in time. But I can change my attitude towards something with God's help. When it comes to things in life, though I may not have some things I could not change, I can change my attitude. And since I cannot change time, I must change my approach to it. I can't stop it in the sense of stopping time. I could self-destruct and stop what I'm doing here, but I'd still be living in another place. And in my case, self-destruction is not in even the vocabulary, because God wants me to serve him and die for him as a living sacrifice, not be dead, not be able to do nothing. When he gets ready to call us home, he'll call us home. And we'll go in happy, shouting the glory as we leave here. But I can change my attitude. I can't change time, but I can change my approach to it. I cannot handle people, and this is the thing I found out. I cannot handle people in church like I could on the job when I was manager 12 years ago, many years ago, because they were getting paid. People in church don't get paid. Volunteers in the church don't get paid. You know that? Oh, did you know that? I thought I'd get a great, great amen for that, amen. Now, we have staff here who's been paid so well, but I'm saying, look at the many workers we have. They do it because they love God. They do it because they want to do something for the Lord. But on the other hand, when you come to a point of direction, it's very important. I can ask, but that's all I can do. I can't make anyone do anything. Sometimes people say, well, the preacher, he's addicted. No, I can't. I can't. I guarantee you, if someone said that you're a dictator, more than likely they're trying to be one themselves. And it's failed. What I'm saying to you, God gives us ability. And God raises us up in that rank of the church to do the work that God would have us to do. In church, most of our workers do not get paid. I cannot have a bad attitude and encourage others at the same time. This is a lifetime work. I can change my attitude, but I cannot change time. So I have to change my approach to it. And I'm finding out some things about this, too. I mean, years ago, managing, if you had a person that just didn't work and you couldn't do it, if you didn't get out, you got fired yourself. And so why don't you, on the turn, you had to fire them if they didn't work. That's all there is to it. And get somebody else that did. And sometimes that was hard. But now, that side to the church is different. It's hard to fire somebody that's not working for pay. And by the way, I don't have anybody I even want to fire. I'd love to have another group just like the group we got now. So I'm happy with that. But I'm trying to show you this work ethics It worked for us in the church as much so as in the world, but you have to handle it a little bit different. Now, let me just give you a thought, and I'm quitting. Having money will not make one happy. Why do I say that? I say this because 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 says the love of money is the root of all evil. But let me tell you something, folks. But it does give one an opportunity and open doors for us then to have things. Amen? It does make us feel better in life at times. I have never got a raise, and you hadn't either. You didn't feel good about it for at least a day. And then all of a sudden, well, maybe a week, and you got your check, and you saw how much the tax they took out of that. You really didn't get much of a raise. But what I'm saying, there are things, little things that make us happy for a few moments in life. Yet, I know this, to owe money is to live in misery unless you can pay it. I've been there too. I have rather have money than to owe money to someone that I can't pay. Amen? Amen? Owe me? What I'm saying, God gives us understanding about how to have things. When he's seeking him, he's first in life. Someone said, if you owe $1,000, you're a piker. If you owe $100,000, you're a businessman. If you owe $1 million, you're a tycoon. If you owe $1 billion, you're a magnate. If you owe $100 billion, you're a government. If you owe trillions of dollars or more, you're the United States led by a president. I don't know about that one. God has shown us favor, folks. God has shown his favor. The question is, what is my potential? Am I saved? If not, why not? Because that's the first thing on our agenda. What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Our Savior taught us that, who is God in the flesh. And then when you're saved, learn something new every day. That's why I ask so many questions. I know one time we was out here with the radio station at the transmitter, and we was moving one transmitter out and another in, and I was asking questions. We had some people out there ask questions. Someone said one day, "Preacher, you had the most questions anybody ever seen." Well, you have to understand. Can I give you a secret? I consider my life been short, even though if I may live. And I feel like this, if I'm going to learn something, if I learn the question I ask, I'll learn quicker than have someone tell me 25 minutes about something I didn't care anything about. So I ask questions. And when I ask questions, I get answers and it gives me something. See, I'm slow. If you talk to me about 30 minutes about something, I won't get 2 minutes of it. I'm slow to hear. I mean, now I'm slow to hear. But I'm slow to understand. But if I ask questions, I'm getting answers to something that I want to know, and I'll remember that. By the way, so will you. So I say to you, when you learn something, every new day, try to learn something, then apply what you learn, then file it away for your references. It's important to do so. If you learn something, keep a reference of that thing. I've got reference when I worked years ago, and I get out and look at it once in a while. Even the space program and some of the first space shots. My apartment did that, and you heard me talk about it. And the astronauts over, and I've got pictures and things that given to us because we're part of that. And the astronauts, I've got them filed away just to go back and remember. There are some things I knew more so than just studying the Bible. And with the Bible, I have charts and many things. You've seen, I can show you files after files. Brother Terry and others know files after files. I reference everything. Someone was in my office this past week and said, said, you probably could have your own commentaries from your references, not have anything. Probably could over the period. Listen, I've been in this thing many years. And then once you learn, file it away, set your goals high with God right in the center of it. Whatever you're doing, start out in the morning with God in the center. When you finish, end the day, and all during the day, report to him and talk to him about things in life. Make self-evaluations of your life. God is highly favored. You've got talents. You got talents I don't. There's people in here who got talents I haven't come close to. I can't even touch the hem of your garment on some things you can do. Let God have access to that and to use it in fields. Make self-evaluation yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 said, examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own self, lest you find yourself a reprobate. If you find a weakness, work on it. Because we got weakness. Work on it. If you do it by yourself with the Lord, say, Lord, this is something I need some help on. And he'll help you, God knows. My wife and I live on the island by ourselves on life because we're so afraid. to get close to anybody because somebody else may criticize it. But it's an amazing thing how that we have this thing of the weakness. Help us work on it, Lord. Help us work on it. Matthew 6:33 again said, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are they talking about? Food, drink, clothing, things you wear. I said before, I may not be able to wear an $800 suit, but the $79 a hammer does pretty good for me, amen? If I can just buy that, I don't look too bad with this on, do I? I may have wore it 15 years, but I still don't look too bad for it. Why? Because if I could afford an $800 suit, I'd wear it. I'm not ashamed to wear an $800 suit. You say, I wouldn't. Give them one. See what they do. I'll be honest with you, I can't tell the difference between an $800 suit and a $100 suit, can you? You say, look at the name. I don't even know the name, so I wouldn't know the name of that either. I say this, God, please help someone to see how you can favor them and see how you favor them. I beg you today for this message. It's been a little general thing about God has highly favored us. And I'm looking at everyone here and know you slept in a bed last night. It's entirely different than what the forefathers slept in a lot of places. Probably some of you slept in something that's worse than what you have now. You slept in a house, I'm sure if you had an age on you, there's nothing to see the sun come through the cracks of the wall as you grew up. I bet you now you don't see that. God's favored us, folks. God has shown his favor on us. Why should we not say, Lord, help me learn, seek the kingdom of God first. God, all the blessings you give me, let you be first. And while you're first, I'll not only gain here, I'll use my talents here. I won't be a lazy person. I'm just not going to sit around and wish. I'm not going to say, hey, I didn't even sit around and wish that I was going to heaven. I did what God said, so I know I was going to heaven. Amen. How do you know, preacher? Because of this book. You know, folks, this book has everything we need to meet him, to live for him, and what we should do. God doesn't hinder anyone at all. You can be a multi-trillionaire and let God be first, and God will highly favor that person and rewards it just as much so as someone who's not. Why? You use your talents for his glory, but you can't think just being at church is working for God. We get when we come to church. We get what we get when we come to church. Working for God is saying, Lord, there's something I can do beyond this. And I want to give you whatever talents I've got because I want you to be first. I may spend 8-10 hours on a job somewhere or another, but I'm going to still give you everything I've got to work for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message. Lord, I spent a lot of time here, and I pray you would honor yourself today to get us to see how much God has favored us. We cannot stand before you one day and say, Lord, why didn't you favor us more? You gave us more. You favor us more than we deserve. And yet, when we honestly look in the mirror at ourselves and ask the question, if I had to stand before God today, what have I done for him since I was saved? What would my life, and be honest scripturally, not be self-righteous like the Pharisees and think that just because we got his name, that's enough. But honestly, evaluate our hearts, examine ourselves, and say, what could I say I've done for God since I was saved? Well, maybe I did 20 years ago, but the last 20 years I hadn't done anything. Well, we probably lost everything we did the first 20. Because you wonder if you stopped doing whether the first was genuine or not. Lord, this thing is too much to make fun of and let Satan deceive us. Please help us today to understand who you are, who we are, and what you'd have us to do. Lord, there's some things people in this church do I could never do. They might say, well, I couldn't get up there and speak like that. Well, brother, Lord, you know, a long time ago, I was like Moses talking to you before. I don't have the best vocabulary in the world. If a person comes to just hear me speak, they don't come for that. I hope, pray, they're hearing something that God is touching the heart with. But they got something I can't do. They got talents I don't have. And Lord, they need to surrender to you. And when they do, it'll go through a local church, because you established the church. Bless your people today. In Jesus' name I pray. And for his sake we ask. Amen.